And welcome to our continuing audio series from IFR Refresher, a monthly review of IFR rules and procedures designed to hone your skills and reinforce your knowledge. Learn more or subscribe at ifr-refresher.com. Based in St. Paul, Minnesota, BRS produces the parachute systems that are installed as standard equipment on all Cirrus Design aircraft and are available as an aftermarket installation on several other makes and models, including the Cessna Skyhawk, 182, and various light sport aircraft. BRS claims to have saved more than 200 lives with the system. IFR Refresher's Meredith Saney caught up with Larry Williams, CEO, and John Gilmore, technical and sales representative for BRS.
I wanted to explore the decision-making that goes into pulling the chute in IMC. And the scenario that I'd given to Larry that you're probably familiar with, John, is on the approach to runway 27 out at Duluth, the initial approach fix takes you way the heck out over Lake Superior. And we were there in January. No, it was VMC, and we're making that turn, and, you know, I've got the whole safety thing on the brain, and I'm thinking to myself, if I pulled the chute right now, I'm going to end up in that lake. And what if I actually pointed the nose of the airplane first toward the shore, got over the land, and then pulled the chute? Would that be a better option than just sort of panicking and pulling the chute over the lake?
You are answering the questions that we really wanted to do in this, some of the scenario-based training stuff we did when I worked with John on those programs up at Cirrus. Is you have to decide what you're going to do with a parachute well before you take off. I mean, you have to say, okay, in this case, if I'm over the water, it's cold, it's a very windy day, maybe I wouldn't pull the chute. So your suggested mechanism of making the decision prior to that is a good one. And yes, I would aim it towards the shore. If you can fly the airplane, in all cases, that's what you really need to do, is continue to control the airplane and continue to fly the airplane. However, there may be some circumstances in which you have really no control. You know, we've had ailerons jammed, we've had midair collisions, we've got some of those on videotape. But so the decision to pull the parachute is made on the ground prior to takeoff, given all the circumstances that you currently experience on the flight. Where are you located?
I'm in Gaithersburg, Maryland, just outside Washington.
Okay, so the Washington Monument, pulling the parachute probably is...
Well, if you're within gliding distance of the Washington Monument, you got bigger problems out here.
It's the rocket up the tailpipe that causes problems. But
so, Meredith, one of the things that we often do is we draw the comparison to military pilots and the ejection sequence. I think if you talk to pilots who have had the unfortunate circumstance to have to eject from an airplane, they will tell you that the decision to eject is generally made on the ground before you take off. They run through that scenario in their head. They determine what they're going to do if they encounter a problem. And then it's almost like muscle memory, and that's one of the things that we at BRS like so much about the FRASCA simulator, is the fact that you at least get the opportunity to run through the scenario in your mind, and then the physical part of pulling the handle creates a level of muscle memory. So the comparison to military ejection seats is, we think, very, very clear. Now, on the flip side of that, there have also been circumstances where pilots have lost control of the airplane, even in VFR conditions, where they end up in what I would call information overload, and they're trying to process so much information so quickly, and they're somewhat in a panic state at that particular point, that they do not think about the parachute. And they don't realize that it's there as an available option to them because they haven't gone through this scenario in their mind. So it's very important for us to encourage pilots, when they have a parachute available to them, to think about it, to process through in their mind what they would do in an emergency. You know, flying today, as pleasurable as it is, you have a lot of time on your hands. You know, you're up there, the airplane is doing its thing, and you have a lot of time to tinker with button switches and knobs, I like to call it. But the truth is, in that environment, you can also be running through the what-if scenarios. What if this happened? if I'm over water, or if I'm over a frozen lake, or I'm over unlandable terrain, what would happen? When would I make the decision? How does that go?
And specifically, the point that I was trying to delve into here is not whether or not you're going to pull the chute, but the decision of when and where do I deploy the chute. Is a successful outcome significantly improved based on my advanced planning and at that moment decision of when do I pull it?
Let me first address that. My opinion is that you do want to pull fairly early in the event. Now, you're told when you're learning to fly that the number one rule is to always fly the airplane.
That's right.
And I agree with that. And you don't want to lose control of the airplane. And clearly, after you pull the parachute, you're no longer in control and you're not flying the airplane. But what I wouldn't want to see happen is someone delaying the actual deployment of the parachute while they're trying to do something to gain control of the airplane and results in them not pulling the parachute quickly enough. So the prospect of pulling it early in the event, to me, is much better than waiting till later on and then possibly losing so much altitude or gaining so much speed, frankly, that you have a problem pulling the chute.
That to me seems reasonable in a case where you have already lost control of the aircraft. But let's say specifically we're talking about an engine failure here where the pilot is flying the plane. There's no unusual attitude involved. There's just a loss of power. At that point, if you're still able, does it make sense to try and get the aircraft over a place where you would want the parachute to deposit you?
Yeah, that goes back to your scenario in Duluth. Yeah, I definitely would not prefer to land in cold water in Duluth for a bunch of reasons. You know, I'd rather go actually over area of some perhaps trees that could help grab the parachute as opposed to a large flat Walmart parking lot kind of thing where you might do it, you know, if you're flying the plane. And I think also, let's say that if it's a 25 knot wind in a Cessna and over flat terrain, I may choose to try and glide the airplane to the ground. Now, there's this incident that happened early in Cirrus's, in fact, I know this plane because I flew it first. It was the gentleman had a total failure of the engine due to an oil starvation when the mechanic failed to put the oil plug in. It was 300 feet, mile visibility, and he landed the aircraft in a field and broke his back as a paraplegic. And I know the guy. We asked my friend and I were talking to him and said, why did you do that? He said, I tried to save the airplane. Now, if there's a circumstance where you should use the parachute, that would have, you know, that's the scenario which you would, you just don't have time to react. You don't know what you're going to get. It's like a night IFR landing, and you've probably been taught that one, turn into the last zone, wind, and fly, and when you get close to where you think the ground is, turn the lights on if you like it, continue with the lights on. If you don't, turn the lights off.
Right.
And that's, you know, the parachute is kind of like, you know, you turn the lights on, and you're going to get a much better result. But
And in that case, maybe you can give our readers some insight as to the kinds of things you should be thinking about in advance, or maybe turn the question around. Are there any places where you probably really wouldn't want to have the parachute deposit you if you were able to pick and choose?
You pick the one that to me is the most frightening, which is the water landing, because we rely on the landing gear and we rely on the cushioning effect of that landing gear. And I'm more talking about walking away unscathed as 210 people have. I mean, literally not hurt a bit versus perhaps have a cracked vertebrae like the Ilian Reich did in New York when he landed in that tidal pool on Hudson River, I think it was. So, yeah, water landings, you may, in fact, wind up having some physical problem. We've had two guys in California, in Pacific Northwest, Dave Sheriffinski, in a small ultralight that had a corroded part that failed due to water, you know, like saltwater corrosion, and they were in a float plane and pulled the parachute over water, and they had five stitches or something. So over water, you could have an injury, whereas on land, the system is designed to give you a control touchdown on a very hard surface that allows you to pretty much walk away from these aircraft. So, but I would steer away from water. I definitely would pull it in steep terrain, like mountain terrain, hilly terrain. I would pull it over trees. I would pull, you know, where I really would have, to think about controlling it would be windy days on fairly flat, hard terrain that I could land on. You know, much like you practice every day of your life when you learn to fly those little, mm-hmm. you know, pick out the field and land in the field kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, I've thought of even the point if once I get down, I'm about touching the wheels down in some short field. I may consider pulling the handle on the parachute, using it as a big drag chute. I mean, I don't know, but I've thought through, depending on the scenario, that might be a way that I'd use the parachute. You know, I may pull it high and leave the engine running and try to drive it somewhere. I mean, these are all things that I've talked to and have ideas about how I might do it. But in each case, I know what the flight's going to be, and I have a good idea whether I'd pull it on that particular flight. Whether I would at that instant or not, I don't know.
Larry Williams and John Gilmore with BRS speaking with IFR Refreshers Meredith Saney. For more information on the decision-making process involved in deploying an aircraft parachute system, log on to our website and subscribe to IFR Refresher. It's www.ifr-refresher.com.